Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Hallelujah!
You may be seated this morning. What a great, great, great opportunity it is to come and be with you and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? That song that Cheryl just sang, she wrote for me. And if you've never heard it before, one of the key things in that song was when she starts out, Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. Do you understand that right there is the greatest example that God gives us on how to rest in the Lord? While all the seas were raging and the rain was coming and the disciples were all stirred up, he was sound asleep in the back of the boat. So if you're having trouble sleeping, that is your story for today. The Bible says that we're to rest in the Lord. He showed us how to rest in the Lord right there. When all the seas and all the storms and everything is coming at you, coming down upon you, closing in around you, and rising up beneath you, he's sound asleep. And I pray that for you today, that you get sweet sleep. The sleep, the rest that God has promised us. And I know because, and I'll share just a moment, that was affecting me, my ability to sleep. And I went through a situation where I was not sleeping, I was not resting. I was anxious for everything. Mm-hmm. And what I found out was I was being bombarded by all the situations, all the circumstances around me, and that I had forgotten the voice, that lion of Judah that was inside of me that had to be awakened, because I'd lost my voice. I'd lost my ability to fight, to stand up, to resist. And my wife said to me, she said, "Awaken, O lion of Judah." And I began to go outside in the mornings and I would roar like a lion. Now, absolutely, you might call that crazy, but it worked for me.
That's right.
I began to develop that which was within me to come out of me, and therefore it changed everything around me. Anything that God has put in you needs to come out of you, and it can change your situation, your circumstances, and your surroundings. I believe that because I'm preaching to you today from my very own experience. So the message that we have for you today and for you that are home this morning is a message that my wife and I have meditated on, because we've been looking forward to this now for at least, 7 or 8 months when we were invited to come.
Yes, and we both thought we had a message, and this week we'd been mulling it over in our spirit and mulling it over in our spirit. I'm telling you, it's hard for me to walk in heels because I've been barefoot for 4 months. I don't know about y'all, but I've been in my bare feet for so long. I was like, okay, stand
up on
your shoes.
I've been barefoot my whole life, and I don't ever want to try and walk in heels. I just think that's a curse from the devil, those high heels. I'm like, it
makes
was invented
me tall
by man, so
he
man
says,
would
come
wear
up
it
higher. It's scriptural.
I don't know about that, honey.
Vanessa and Michelle, would you bring the gifts that we brought for the people today? We have a book, Women of the Nation Pray, Learning How to Pray God's Way in the Court of Heaven, Stand in Your Ground. Go ahead and give it to somebody. And then another one is The Rise of an Orphan Generation, Learning Who Your Father Is, Understanding Your Position with the Father. And then I have a new worship CD called Teach Us How to Pray, Learning How to Pray God's Way Through Worship. And then I grabbed the new Awaken CD that I just sang for. That's in there. Then we have two other new CDs, Divine Romance. It's the words of the bridegroom prophetically singing over you from Song of Solomon, who you are as his bride. And then another one is a prophetic song, a prophetic CD called Communion. And I take you through the communion process. I don't know about you, but I've taken more communion in the last 4 months than I ever had in my home. And so it just takes you through the divine prophetic way to walk in his presence through communion. And it's just worship and takes you through that. So we wanted to bring you some gifts this morning. It's time to be redeemed, and it's time for the redeemed to be restored. It's time for the redeemed to be restored. First of all, 2020 means redemption. The number 20 in Hebrew means redemption. So this is the year of double redemption. And we began this year, Harry shared your testimony. We began this year, I've been prophesying for 20 years over myself that my youth is renewed like the eagles, that I have eagle's eyes, that I can see far, my eyes are not abated. I've confessed these things over my life for now 21 years. I've been saying about my eyes, because since I was 42, I've had to wear glasses or contacts. And it's just a hassle when you're preaching. It's just a hassle. And so I've been confessing it, believing it, but I hadn't put what I would say a timeline on it. I was just believing God to do it. And I've been saying, as many of you know, that my clock's going backwards. In the name of Jesus, my youth is being renewed so that I don't get old. I'm just going, my years in numbers may go up, but my age, my cellular level, my health can be restored. And God is doing that for the body of Christ right now. And so we began this year, 2020. Then, you know, everybody's prophesying, we including, that it would be the year of clear vision and that we'd be able to see more clearly what God wants for us and destiny would become clear and so many things like that. And we got up and got on a plane and went to New Jersey the very first weekend to preach. And I could not get my contacts in that morning on the plane. Not that unusual, early in the morning. So I didn't think a thing about it. We got up the next morning to preach, couldn't get my contacts in, said, well, I'll just wear my glasses. Got up to preach, put my glasses on, couldn't see a thing. I'm like, man, my eyes are so messed up today. Next day, same thing happened. We get on the plane, come home. It took me to Monday, 4 days later, to realize my eyes are 20/20. That's why my glasses weren't working, my contacts weren't working. God healed my eyes, and I believe he did it as a sign for us and a sign for you that this is the year that God has restored the redeemed. He's restoring the redeemed. We are not moved by what's going on around us. This is our year. We are the redeemed. Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're at home watching, type in the comments, I am redeemed. If you read that scripture in full, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it says, who has redeemed us from trouble? God's redeemed us from trouble. So I'm excited to think that we're in the year where you, the redeemed, can shout restore. You can say I'm redeemed. What did Harry say in his testimony? He said he had to get to the point where he went outside and he roared. What was that? That was his act of faith. He was acting in faith that he's awakening the lion. Some of us have been so stricken with fear and panic and anxiety that God could not move because we're deaf to the sound of his spirit when we are in fear. We have to say, no fear here. I am redeemed and I am restored. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed. Let me ask you that again. Let's see how close you're paying attention. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed. Hallelujah.
Now, she said that she said the word trouble, and the Bible is clear. She said he said that I will keep you in times of trouble. The Bible's very clear. It says in this world we will have trials, tribulation, and trouble.
John 16:33.
Be of good cheer. Now, to be of good cheer in that time is very difficult. It's the time that you find yourself in what we call the waiting period. You wait. But in the Hebrew, there's a word for waiting.
Wait in Hebrew means to twist, to twirl, to intertwine together, to make strong. You know what that is? Worship. I'm worshiping you, God, while I'm waiting. Now, I'm not weak. I'm not weary. I'm going to worship you. And the more I worship, the stronger I become. The more I worship, the faster the waiting moves. The more I worship, time just poof. Wow, what happened to the minutes? What happened to the hour? While I'm worshiping God, time just accelerated. God says, while you wait, make sure you're worshiping.
Now, we thought about that, and the kids are all doing this TikTok stuff. Our little grandchildren are doing it. So one night, they did this dance thing, and I said to Mom, I said, they're dancing before the Lord. They're twisting, they're turning.
That's right.
They haven't even understood what they're doing, but they're being redeemed of the Lord because they're dancing. They're celebrating in the midst of the trouble that's going on around us. Now, I want you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to one of my favorite scriptures. And it's becoming, I guess, my second favorite scripture. My very favorite scripture, it says, where your treasure is, so shall your heart be. That is my very favorite scripture. But in the book of Romans, the 15th chapter, the 13th verse.
I know we're throwing you a few more, but we got some on the way over today.
And I just want to give you that. Romans 15, verse 13. The whole story, the whole scripture there really is a story of your life. Maybe you don't realize it, but I realize that when I meditated on this scripture, it's the story of my life.
It is.
And it is the story of my wife's life.
It is.
And I would venture to say that it is the story of your life because it reads like this.
May the God of your hope.
Stop. Is he your God? Have you called him Lord? See, there's the very first thing. It says, may the God of your hope. So when you acknowledge that you have an eternal God, he now says, here's the rest of it. He says, may the God of your
hope.
We can stop right there. Hope is what you cast until you receive your miracle. Hope is what we as believers have to cast to a hurting, dying world. If we don't have any hope, then how do we expect anybody else to believe what we believe?
Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if you allow yourself while you wait in your hoping time, when you allow what to come in that we were speaking of earlier, when you stop waiting God's way, when you stop waiting with expectation, when you put God on a timeline and say, God, if it doesn't happen by Friday, that your hope's going to be deferred because you can't put God on a timeline. You need to understand he's already done what he's going to do for you, and it's going to manifest in the earth. But while you wait for it to manifest, you dance, you twist, you twirl, you worship, you give him glory, you get off the clock. Hello, get off the clock with God and worship him in spirit and truth. May the God of your hope so fill you with joy.
Not joy, all joy.
May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy.
That word all means when times are good or times are bad. Mm-hmm. When you're in church, when you're out of church. When you're awake, when you're asleep. He said, with all joy. And the Bible's very clear. It says that the joy of the Lord is my
strength.
So when you have that joy of the Lord, he strengthens you because you believe in God and he gives you hope in all things. So now he says that I'll strengthen you
with all joy and peace.
Now we can stop there. Peace. Our last name is Salem. Jerusalem, the city of peace. The definition of the word Salem or peace means nothing missing, nothing broken.
We call him our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace, because we want to live in the place where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. The ancient Hebrew word peace means to destroy the stronghold that establishes chaos. So peace is not what the world has tried to teach us. Calgon, take me away. Peace is warring in the spirit to have the peace of God ever in every situation. No matter if all hell is breaking loose in the world around you, you're walking in the peace of God.
Now you think about that, you say, well, that all sounds good, but you have no idea the situation that I'm in my life. And it goes on here and it says, how do you get joy and peace? My Bible is an Amplified Bible. It says, in believing through the experiences of your faith.
So it does not deny that you have experiences. Experiences of faith is not everything going good. When you've had an experience in faith, some things have not gone so good. Have you figured that out? Well, if I'm having to walk by faith, I'm dealing with things coming at me trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But through the experiences of my faith is when I learn how to make him God of all situations. He's my hope. He's my strength. He's my joy. He's my worship. This is when I know who God is in my life, when I go through some things with him and I have some experience.
Are you faith people?
Absolutely.
Why are you a faith person?
Yes.
I mean, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, we operate and we listen, we call ourselves part of the Word of Faith movement. But what really is faith? Well, let me give you my definition of faith. When all hell breaks loose, you still believe. Because how do you know peace if you haven't had war? How do you know a feast if you haven't had famine? Well, how do you know that you have faith until you actually have to take
experience
it and apply it? Because it says it's a substance. So you take your faith and you apply your faith because you've been through some things. If we stood up here and began to tell you what we've been through in our 60 years on this earth,
63 for some of us,
we'd be here a week. 61 here. You do, you look youthful.
Thank you.
Thankful for hair dye. But
hallelujah, the salon's opened up.
But he says, through the things, the experiences of your faith, everything that you've gone through in your life, have tried or tested or given you the opportunity to apply your faith. And how? By the power
of the
Holy Spirit. That still small voice. It's inside of you.
Who never leaves you.
Remember Cheryl sang about the word, the Lion of Judah. And I told you I had to go out and let him. I had to unleash the Holy Spirit in my life. Because I couldn't figure it out, but he's already figured it out.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, and the Amplified says bubbling over with hope. So you not only have the God of hope, but you are hope to everybody you meet, everybody you see, everybody that talks to you. You are the hope of salvation. You are the hope of eternity. You are the hope that heaven is real. You are the hope that COVID-19 is not bigger than the name of Jesus. You are the hope of the world because you are filled with the Holy Spirit and his power, and you walk through the experiences of your faith, and you draw on your testimonies, and you give them for the glory of God in all situations.
So let me read that to you this way, and then we're going to turn to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace and believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing and bubbling over with hope. So first off, he said, may the God of hope, that's permissive. He gives you the permission to believe in a God, and he casts hope to you when all things look dire. And he says, I will strengthen you because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And he says, I'll restore. Nothing missing, nothing broken. How? Because you've been through something. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, you're going to abound and you're going to overflow. And I love it. And this Amplified says, you will get to a point where you're going to be bubbling over with hope.
Bubbling over. That means you're effervescent. You're not just a bottle of water. You're a Perrier. It goes psh when they open you.
I don't know if you've experienced bubbling over, but in a moment, I'm going to tell you about a bubbling over experience in my life. So Isaiah 42, 22.
I'm going to read it out of the Passion first, and then you might want to read it out of the Amplified. It says, Yahweh was eager to exalt his law and make it glorious. That was the end of 21. But this is a people plundered and robbed, trapped in holes and hidden in houses of bondage. They're like prey that no one will rescue, like spoil with no one to say, restore, or bring them back. Bring them back is translated restore. With no one to say, restore. Now, it's talking about a nation of people here. Now, we're a nation of people right now. And here we have a nation of people, God's chosen people, and not one person would say restore. They were hidden in caves, houses. What does it sound like right now, right? Houses of bondage. They'd become a prey, no one to rescue them, a spoil. That's what the enemy thinks he's done. He thinks he's picked off the church, but he has not. We are restored. And there may not be every seat in this building filled right now because of restrictions, but every one of you has a voice. And just like Harry roared with the Lion of Judah inside of him, each and every one of us can say, restore. When no one would say restore, God's people rises up and says, restore. Restore our churches. Restore our worship. Restore our health. Restore our nation. Restore your glory. Restore your presence. Restore your power. Restore. 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 Prophesy.
Now, in my Bible, I have a notation of the date that I first got an understanding about that scripture. It talked about us knowing the Cobray family for 20 years. 20 years ago, our 6-year-old daughter graduated to heaven, and we had to be restored because we found ourselves having to pay all the medical bills, robbed, plundered. We didn't want to go out, hidden in houses of bondage, and we'd lost our voice because there was even a point in time when we didn't want to pray. And really, we take it to another level, is we'd forgotten how to pray. Because we'd prayed so much for her, when we got on the other side, we were trying to figure out how to re-engage our faith.
Uncertain if prayer even works. Uncertain if when you pray, do you get what you pray. Is anybody else honest enough to say you've ever been there?
Now, someone said to my wife,
that's right.
3 months after our daughter had gone to heaven, when are you going to stop warring for your daughter? And she said, I'm never going to stop having faith. And something clicked in us. Our faith didn't stop, but we needed to be restored so we could recommunicate with the Lord. So all those things that we thought we'd lost, and we never lost our daughter. We know right where she's at. She's changed addresses. She's in heaven. She's in front of us. She's not in our past. So restoration already begun.
Yeah, faith is. You don't stop believing just because you don't get it on the time frame you want or even the results that you want. Faith is. Faith is not until I get what I want. That's seeking God's hand. And when you're seeking God's hand only, all you want is his power. But he's looking for a people that'll seek his face. Looking for his presence. For when you seek his face, you're saying, God, I want your presence. I don't even care what's in your hand. But the funny thing is, when you get his presence, you get what's in his hand. His power comes with his presence, but his presence doesn't always come with his power. When you seek his power only, you may get what you're wanting and still have no relationship with him. But when you seek his face, you're going to get that divine relationship that creates the ability within you to go through anything, to survive and overcome anything, to become the man and the woman God created you to be. This is a people robbed and plundered, hidden in caves, houses of bondage. But there is a prophet in the house who will say, restore, bring them back, restore, bring them back, restore. Bring them back in the name of Jesus. I'm throwing jewelry this morning.
Now, here's your question. When? Isn't that come out of your mind saying, when do we get restored? When do my finances get restored? When do I get my job back? When can I be back to with my family? When? I don't have an answer. I honestly don't have an answer, but I do have an example. Because remember, we talked about the scripture in Romans that says, and you will be bubbling over with joy. After our little blonde-haired daughter graduated to heaven, now some people have criticized us, and I'll be very open in public and tell you that they say, why do you keep talking about your daughter's death? I don't talk about her death. I want to talk about how she lived. Because a life lived is a life that's been remembered. we still talk about the life that Jesus lived. So we don't talk about the crucifixion as much as we talk about the miracles as when he lived. Because it's not how long you have on this earth, but it's what you do and the amount of time you have here.
And your testimony is based upon not just surviving a situation, but how you overcome it. When you're set before with a fork in the road in front of you, what did you choose? Which way did you go? Did you keep walking with God when you didn't know what he was doing or where he was going or how he was going to get it accomplished or when he was going to do it? But you just kept walking with him because you trust him. You trust that he's a God who has your back. He has your front and he's all surrounding you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. No matter what you're going through, he stays the God of your restoration.
So it was very difficult for me. I stopped walking down Barbie aisles, etc., etc., and I just couldn't find it in my heart to even look at barely, but hold a little girl. But on the night that our granddaughter was born, and I was given the opportunity to be in the room, and they placed her in my arms, restoration came. It took 17 years, but I experienced bubbling over. And guess what? If he did it for me, he's going to do it for you. It's not a promise that I make, but he's no respecter of persons. So if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. But it might take time. Remember, it's the waiting time that you got to dance, twist, turn, and you got to find that joyful spirit. But you have to find it here than more by anything that's around you. You have to find it by what's in you, because what's in you will change what's around you. What's around you is trying to change what's in you right now. But you got to let what's in you change what's around you. So then, but you know, it's an interesting thing. As I said, we found ourselves really... And I don't want to say not wanting to pray, but not...
Not knowing if we knew quite how.
Not knowing quite how to
but
pray.
If you just skip over to the next chapter in Isaiah, God began to deal with us about how to move on. How many of you are trying to figure out how to move on? We need to stop looking behind us with what was and look forward and see what God has for us in front of us. Isaiah 43:18 says, stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember these former things. I'm doing something brand new. Something unheard of. I love that translation. God says, I'm about to do something you've never even heard of in you. I'm not even something you've been believing me for. Not even something that you've seen me do for somebody else. I'm going to do something so amazing in you, you've never even heard of it. It's going to be so powerful and so big and so awesome. I'm going to do something brand new that's never even been heard of. Can you imagine as we keep moving week after week forward in church, that church begins to be something we've never even seen before. We've never even heard before. Worship breaking out in a way we've never heard it before. Songs coming forth out of you that we've never heard before. That God says, I'm going to play that instrument and I'm going to play that instrument. And wow, look what I'm doing. And angels coming in and bringing miracles, signs, and wonders. And the Holy Spirit being among us and in us and through us, moving us to a place we've never even heard of it before.
Flip in your Bibles to the 11th chapter of the book of Luke.
Even now Luke, it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I make a way in the wilderness and I open up flowing streams in the deserts. Wild jackals, beasts, and owls will glorify me. Woohoo! God says everything's going to glorify me. For I supply streams of water in the desert and rivers in the wilderness to satisfy the thirst of my people, my chosen ones, so that you, whom I have shaped and formed for myself, will proclaim my praise. Woo, glory to God. Don't you just want to praise him?
The 11th chapter of the book of Luke, and everything, listen, God gave us the word of God so he could communicate to us, but he gave us prayer to communicate to him. And with the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit, he then gave us the ability, the power to have things changed in our life. So this is what they said, and this was good for us, because then Jesus was praying in a certain place when he stopped, and one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Can you imagine that? They're walking, talking, traveling with him, seeing the miracles, but they have the question of, "Teach me to pray."
Because they'd seen him. They'd watched him pray. They had seen the communion between he and the Father, and they wanted that. Does anything make you more hungry than seeing somebody walking in communion with the Spirit of God?
And he said to them, "When you pray," and he began to teach them the Lord's Prayer. And you see, everything that we have need of is right there in those 700,000 words, 66 books in that Bible. It's a manual. It's the original GPS. It's the original internet. Everything is in there. And so I took the Lord's Prayer and I broke it down. And you might enjoy this, because it blesses me when I got the revelation. He taught us how to pray. First he said, "Our Father."
Not just the Father. Not just the world's Father.
Or not just my Father.
Our
Father. It's for everyone. It's inclusive to anyone who calls upon his name. Right there, it's an invitation. Our Father.
Most inclusive phrase in the word, our Father.
Who art in heaven. And right there, he makes the statement and an establishment that heaven is a real place and our Father lives there, and those who believe upon him shall have a family reunion, a restoration like we will with our daughter. And it's a promise about going forward, and it's not something about going backwards. He says, "Our Father who is placed in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Holy,
holy
is the name of the Lord.
Holy.
Holy.
Holy is your name.
So when we pray to him, it's not some flippant, left-handed, off time. It is a holy, revered, special opportunity where we get to talk to the Father God who created the heavens and the earth, who flung the stars from his fingertips and shaped the mountains with his hands.
If you're watching online, just write, "Holy is your name." Declare his holiness in your life. If you're here in the house, say, "Holy is your name. Holy is your name." We
thy
declare
kingdom
your
come.
Holiness.
He says, "I'm going to tell you, there's a better place, and it's in your future,
and
it's not in your past." So many times we want to go back, and we want to reclaim our youth. Our youth is renewed.
Like the eagles.
When we walk with the Lord.
When he said, "Thy kingdom come," I hear it like this in our language. "Your kingdom come." It's as if I have the right to prophesy that I'm not living in this world system, that I'm not subject to this world system. I'm subject to the kingdom of heaven. Timothy says, "I'm a citizen there." Your kingdom come, live inside of me. May the kingdom of heaven be alive in me, and may I be alive in the kingdom of heaven. Your kingdom come. Come, kingdom.
Thy will be done.
Your will done. Your will done.
Thy will be done. I only do what I see the Father do, which is souls.
The heartbeat of God.
Heartbeat of souls. That's the heartbeat of God. I sent my Son so that those who call upon his name shall be saved and have an eternal life, and the promise of a kingdom of heaven forever and ever and ever.
I don't know.
And give us this day our daily bread. He doesn't promise us anything but this day. But he says, give us this day our daily bread. And he's not talking about food. He's talking about the bread of life. He's talking about the life, the bread of life, our living God. And forgive us of our trespasses.
That's redemption. That's redemption for us through our repentance. We must repent. What does repent mean? It means I turn from doing it my way. That's why we said, your will done. Your will done. When I say your will done, I'm saying not my will anymore. I don't even want my will. I want your will. I'm turning from going my way, and I'm going to go your way. I've been going my way, saying I'm a Christian, doing my own thing, but I'm not getting nowhere. I'm getting nowhere, but I'm going to do it your way, God. Your will done. Your will done. I repent, and when I repent, I can ask God to forgive me, and he promises me in the book of Micah that he'll throw my sin as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, and I like to add, he posts a no fishing sign. Don't be fishing back there because you are forgiven.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, he's already planted the seed in us on how to forgive others because we're asking him to forgive us first.
Turn it loose and let it go. It is not worth it. I don't know if anybody's figured that out yet, but it is not worth it. Holding unforgiveness over a person is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. The only person that gets hurt by unforgiveness is the one who won't forgive.
And lead us not into temptation. He says, pray that I can lead you away from temptation.
And when
you're going to be tempted on every turn, in every corner, in every situation, temptation is going to raise its ugly head. But if you get up in the morning and say, Lord, lead us not in temptation. And deliver us from evil. Ooh.
Glory to God.
Think about any evil thought or anything that you can think that's evil out there. And deliver us, though we walk in this world and we will have trials and tribulations, but you will deliver us from that evil.
Evil.
And then what was added later is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's how we pray. That's how we pray. When you've forgotten how to pray or you don't know how to pray in the situation that you're in, he gives us that prayer right there.
Very simple, very easy to simply get on your face and say, Father, your will done.
So are you ready to pray?
Your kingdom come.
We want to pray for your restoration.
Restore.
We want to pray for your
Restore.
Eternal life. Because when you lose vision of who God is in your life, you have to go back and say, Our Father. He gives you an invitation right there. Who art in heaven? You're promised something better than this place. And he goes on and he tells us he's holy. And he gives us the opportunity to do what he sees the Father do. So how many need a little restoration in your life right now? Amen? Your job back, your finances back, your pantry full. Your body to be healed, your family members to come back home. Everybody needs restoration. I don't know anybody that doesn't. But I know one thing. If you restore an antique car, it's going to take a labor of love. You don't restore something out of hate. You do it out of love. And it takes some effort and it takes some time. But the bottom line is, if you take something that was created once and you restore an old car, it becomes more valuable than when it was first created. So he's saying, when you're restored, you're more valuable to me than when I first created you. And he loves you that much that he'd want to restore you. So, Father, right now we pray for restoration in your life. And, Father, we pray right now that what the devil has meant for evil, that God, you will turn it for good. And that we can say, restore us. Right here in this house. We can say, restore us right there in your house. And that you'll find that voice, that Lion of Judah that will begin to come up in you and you will say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am restored. I have a future. I am no longer walking in my past. And restoration comes when the Almighty God says, it's your season. And I will wait upon the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.